سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه المنتجبين وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين. قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: لتبلون في أموالكم وأنفسكم ولتسمعن من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم ومن الذين أشركوا أذًا كثيرًا وإن تصبروا وتتقوا فإن ذلك من عزم الأمور. صدق الله العلي العظيم. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to our Creator, our Cherisher, our Nourisher, and our Sustainer. We bear witness there's none worthy of worship but Allah. We bear witness we believe in all the prophets who came in the great line of divine throughout history. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is the final of all the emissaries of Allah. Respected elders, brothers, ulama, huffaz, youth, I greet you with the Islamic universal greeting of peace. May the peace, the mercy, and the blessings of Allah be upon each and everyone. At this auspicious hour of Jumu'ah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. It is expected that over 3 billion people who have seen part of the Qatar World Cup by the time it reaches the final on the 18th of December. No other human event draws a larger audience than the World Cup. It is indeed an event that is noted, noticed, observed, and of which people are well informed and well aware. But instead of it being a celebration of the participation of 32 of the best footballing nations coming together, watching the most popular sport by people, the event has become an excuse for some, particularly some Europeans, to use this world stage and its global attention to deliberately bring into question some fundamental Islamic values. So, in the run-up to this globally watched tournament, some Western media coverage has been dominated by controversies surrounding the event, more focusing on the controversy rather than the sport itself. One of the biggest broadcasters in the world, who makes sure that they are there for every major event, and more so for sport, and more particularly for soccer, the BBC, refrained from airing even the opening ceremony of this World Cup, opting instead to cover on criticism of the host nation and the Middle East. Now, besides the legitimate issue of the treatment of migrant workers by all the Arab states, not only Qatar, Saudi, and the rest of them, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, all of them, besides that legitimate issue of the treatment of migrant workers, which needs to be addressed, the rest was pertaining to gender issues, moral behavior, modest dress, and the restriction of alcohol. And this negative focus in the process heightened somewhat a level of Islamophobia. And when I say Islamophobia, I mean that unfounded, irrational hostility arising from misunderstanding or misinformation or miscommunication about Islam, and therefore the spreading of fear, suspicion, dislike, or even hatred towards Islam, and obviously through that to the Muslims as well. Now you see, this event, it's a sporting event, but it affects all of us in the perception of how people see our faith. This World Cup is certainly like no other one before it. It is the first to be held in the Middle East, more particularly in a Muslim country, and the host country have gone out of their way to give a distinctly Arab, somewhat Muslim flavor from the Bedouin-themed opening ceremony, with a female singer wearing a traditional kind of face covering, which is banned in some part of Europe, and of course, verse from the Quran being recited about unity of humankind and about nations and people getting to know one another. Let me just reiterate. The concern here is neither Qatar nor the World Cup, but rather how some of the Western media is exploiting this most watched spectacle, bringing into question the compatibility of Islam and of Muslims with the modern world and with Western values. But from where does this Islamophobia stem? Do not forget, anti-Muslim bias and propaganda date back from the inception of the Islamic faith, from the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the Arabian Peninsula. And at that time already Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cautioned us, لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا وَإِنْ تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. You shall certainly be tried and tested in your possessions, in your lives, and you shall certainly hear many hurtful things from some of those who are given the book before you, and some of those who may be polytheists. But if you persevere patiently and you guard against yourself engaging in wrongfulness, then that will be a matter of great resolve and strong determination. So we observe historically, when Islam was confined to the city of Mecca, it was opposed by the ruling elite, and the ruling elite at that time were the Quraysh, family of course of the Prophet, the tribe which he belonged to. And they opposed Islam primarily because it would undermine their corrupt political and exploitative economic orders and agendas. And as Islam expanded beyond borders of Mecca, it was opposed by a number of tribes even within and outside Medina. And when Islam grew into a major force on the global arena as a political and religious force, it was confronted by European Christendom, and it had many other rival empires, the Roman and the Sassanid and so on. Throughout the period of colonialism and thereafter, the Orientalist gaze became prominent in the works of European academics, historians, writers, and artists. And that pattern of looking at Islam as the other continues to persist through various manifestations even today. So much of the weeds, not the plants and not the flowers, but so much of the weeds of anti-Muslim racism and bias in the present context has actually been sown in the previous centuries. Let me remind ourselves, while the 19th and 20th centuries witnessed the most unrestrained assertion of Western powers through colonialism, through imperialism, and through hegemonic imposition and dominance, the 21st century has shown somewhat a retraction, even a deterioration of such unchallenging power. In other words, there are challenges now to this Western European domination. The emergence of counter forces like Russia and China, neither European really, and some principled revolutionary Muslim leaders, this have led to them realizing that there is a confrontation of the presumption of Western superiority. Do not forget that the main reason for colonialists were economic and political dominance, the Christianization of people, and the civilizing, so-called civilizing, of those who are less civilized. Europeans perceive themselves as a superior to the rest of the world. Even they introduced a theology of Christendom, of a white God, Jesus' mother was from Africa. So can you imagine the perception? How white must God be that if there has a black mother, Jesus has a black mother, how white must the father be for the child to be blonde hair and blue-eyed? A white theology was introduced. A white philosophy was introduced. Isa alayhi salam is the Messiah. We honor him, but we're talking about the perception created. The idea of superiority. The colonized saw the colonizer, and they saw the picture they gave of Jesus. Well, the colonizer looked like Jesus, and Jesus looked like them. He must have been one of them. And this mentality, they perceive themselves as superior to the rest of the world. And Europeans consider themselves, therefore, as the dominant force, and the world was to be of service to them, to meet their needs, to meet their interests and their programs. And as such, a Eurocentric, a European-centered world order was anchored in biased worldview towards the favored Europeans or to the Westerners, to the disadvantage of other people who are non-Western or non-European. Europe was the world, and the world belonged to Europe. By the turn of the 20th century, let me remind you, Europe colonized so much of the world that though Europe only covers 8% of the world's land mass, 84% of the world were directly under control of European rulers. Here we are speaking in the English language. Shows you how far they've colonized us. We are the southern tip of Africa. Many of us are from the Far East, our forefathers, and the common language we have is the language of our colonizers. So colonialism brutally conquered territories, dehumanized those who were colonized, robbing them of their land and stripping them of their dignity. It manifested the pinnacle of inhumanity to man by plundering the resources of the colonized lands and carving it into artificial states like what they did in Palestine and other parts of the world. European colonial powers created vicious cycles of violence, of poverty, of authoritarianism, of which we still suffer today. Admittedly, conquering the world in the name of either spreading Christianity or creating political and economic hegemonies could not be sustained. Even the Christianization waned eventually. So it was replaced by the notion, not evangelizing Christianity so much, but now propagation of a superior civilization. And thereby camouflaging their political cruelty and their economic exploitation. The civilization mission was used to self-legitimize the colonial ruler, and even when they left us with colonized minds, because the European colonizers were materially superior, though in reality they were morally bankrupt. And as we have learned here in Africa, the notion of European civilizational agenda was in reality the cultivation of racism, the imposition of the conqueror over the conquered, the exploiter over the exploited, and the usurper over the usurped, European over non-European, and frankly, so-called white over so-called non-white. The European Enlightenment, assumed to have been based on liberty, equality, fraternity, and infinite opportunity, in reality, it was thuggery, it was butchery, it was robbery, it was debauchery and slavery. In the remnants of that European mentality, which is now trying to dictate, that mentality is now dictating morality to Muslims. And this is where the issue comes in. And such mentality brings doubts and uncertainty rather than peace and tranquility. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith documented by Imam Tirmidhi, said, دَعْ مَا يُرِيبَكَ إِلَى مَا يُرِيبَكَ فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ طُمَأْنِينَ وَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ رِيبَ. Rasulullah said, leave that which brings about doubt for that which does not cause you doubt. Verily, truth brings peace of mind, and falsehood sows seeds of doubt and uncertainty. On a side note, we viewed on Tuesday, for those who watch, are very pertinent when Morocco beat Spain. And it's something very unique to understand. It's somewhat a religious lesson for us as a ummah. Not the game itself, the celebration. Palestinian flags everywhere. And you saw people in every part of the world. I saw video clips of people in Indonesia, people in India, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, people, Muslims in America, in Europe, other parts of the world, throughout Africa, celebrating. Now, that's very unique, you see, because I haven't seen Austrians or Italians or Greeks celebrating when France won. I haven't seen South American people like the Colombians or the Peruvians or the Chileans celebrate in the streets when Brazil won. I haven't even seen when the Japanese who played so well, I didn't see any Asian people celebrating when the South Koreans won. I know soccer is a game, but it may seem trivial. But when it comes to reflecting noble values, we realize how as an ummah, we are somehow still united. We still feel a degree of pride. It's a Muslim country. We're not in support of Morocco or Qatar or anybody, but we feel proud it's Muslim people who won. That sense of, not arrogance or pride, but sense of being proud that Muslims are for, it shows the kind of connection we have, even if we are not sporting people, but the religious connection we have. When Muslims do well, we feel proud, we feel good. And that should make us realize that the hearts of the ummah somewhat beats together. Now imagine a world in which if we could channel that camaraderie, that feeling of interconnectedness into our attitudes and into our interactions with each other. A soccer game brings Muslim people together, and we tend to find religious reasons, excuses to be apart from each other, belittling each other, berating each other, condemning each other. Unfortunately, a reprehensible guilt, not only borne by our Muslim political leaders, but also by our Muslim religious leaders. You see, the very spirit of Islam, whether we are exposed in whichever way, but our very spirit of Islam is underpinned by Quranic conditioning of the Muslim as a social being. And irrespective of what people may say, I want us to reflect on the following 5 points as Quranic conditioning of the Muslim as a social being. One, that life is sacred. All life is sacred. من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. All life is sacred. And that we are encouraged. يدرؤون بالحسنة السيئة, overcoming negativity and evil with goodness. That you should neither be destructive nor malicious. لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, إلا أن تكون تجارة عن تراض منكم ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم إن الله كان لكم رحيما ولا تعتدوا إن الله لا يحب المعتدين. We are not of those who are inherently aggressive. There's no animosity towards those who may not be Muslim. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلكم في الدين ولم يخرجكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين. Our cause is justice, not prejudice. And of course, لا إكراه في الدين. There's no compulsion in our faith. But don't impose corrupt values as a superior way for us. Don't undermine our faith by using opportunities like these to belittle our faith, our Prophet, and the Ummah. With that, a reminder to all that is Islam. It is Islam, Dinun Kamilun, a Dinun Shamilun. It is a comprehensive way of life. Not irrelevant, whether you deem it compatible with the West or what East or whatever it may be. It's a Dinun Kamilun, Dinun Shamilun, a comprehensive and a complete way of life, relevant to all places and to all people. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
جزاكم الله خيرا انتو شيخ سعد الله الله سبحانه وتعالى شيخ his health and strength امين يا رب العالمين to inspire us for many more years to come امين يا رب العالمين. So a few announcements inshallah. The Tanweer summer program will take place on the 20 from the 12th to the 21st of December inshallah. More information can be found on the website Tanweer Institute on Facebook and Tanweer Institute on Facebook and on Instagram, inshallah. So that is a youth program that will take place of, on the 12th, from the 12th until the 21st of December, inshallah. That is a youth summer program for Tanweer. And just a request for the people, inshallah, I can see there's a lot of double parkings outside. Last week was a bad incident. Also, some words was exchanged. We don't need that in our society, in our community, inshallah. So park responsibility, if you come late, park outside, inshallah. So don't try to double park. And those who double park, if they're late, please leave early to avoid obstruction for other cars, inshallah. And then we make dua for Hajj Ibrahim Ruknuddin, who passed on during the week. His janazah was yesterday. That is the brother of Hajj Abdul Hamid Ruknuddin, who used the tobacco. He also had the operation. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, him shifa. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant Hajj Ibrahim Ruknuddin nur in his kubur, widen his kubur, and grant him Jannatul Firdaus. Amen, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Can we just ask the brothers, we've seen that quite a few people, there is a janazah after the Jumu'ah Salah as well as a nikah also. So we just ask the brothers, inshallah, to stand a bit tight today so that all the people can come inside. There are spaces upstairs as well, and there are quite a few spaces in between here as well. Jazakumullah. Can we just ask the brothers to stand in fadlik and to fill all the gaps? Jazakumullah khairan.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
الله أكبر.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد، واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: لتبلون في أموالكم وأنفسكم ولتسمعن من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم ومن الذين أشركوا أذى كثيرا، وإن تصبروا وتتقوا فإن ذلك من عزم الأمور. صدق الله العلي العظيم. وقال النبي حبيبنا المصطفى صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه: دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك، فإن الصدق طمأنينة وإن الكذب ريبة، أو كما قال: صدقت يا رسول الله. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله، أستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الله أكبر. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. نحمده ونستعينه ونستهدي، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ورسولنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. قال الله تعالى في شان حبيبه: يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فقال الله تعالى مخبرا وآمرا قولا كريما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين، اللهم طهر قلوبنا وأفكارنا وأقوالنا وأعمالنا من الرياء والفساد والنفاق وسوء الأخلاق. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم اغفر لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، ارفع لهم الدرجات وكفر عنهم السيئات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة. Kindly sit in the safs, fill the gaps, inshallah, immediately. There'll be janazah salah after the sunnah, inshallah. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى، بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى. إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى، صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر العظيم استغفر العظيم استغفر العظيم التواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم نتوب إليك ونسألك التوبة والمغفرة والهداية لنا فإنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا راد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام وإليك يعود السلام فحينا ربنا بالسلام وادخلنا الجنة برحمتك دارك دار السلام. تباركت ربنا وتعاليت وتعظمت وتكرمت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الله أكبر.